Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and Hustle podcast. For anybody watching this online, they're going to laugh because if you are looking at my webcam, you will notice that there's a massive skeleton sitting in the chair beside me. It looks like my only friend on the chair behind me as well. The one I'm in looks like a Hugh Hefner rug, I would say, that I'm fucking sitting on. So between the two of us here, it's fucking hilarious looking. I hope everybody
is that? Is that a nightgown? Night dress?
No, that's actually just like a big blanket. This office is fucking freezing during winter. You think me being away in Poland would like harden me to the cold? It's done the exact opposite. I'm just like, nah, fuck this. I was made for hot countries. Now I feel like I've completed it and all my fucks I've completely went. Well, not boys with any more Wim Hof shape. I hope everyone is really, really good. There we go. I'm gonna fix that, and that's a bit better now. We've got a range of topics. We've got Q&As, we have everything. So we're just going to see where this goes. Was there anything you felt like you wanted to dive in on of any of them topics that you were like, oh, I like that one the most, McCain? We can just spitball it from there. There's so many that you got here.
I like the one about the crossover between like training and business, as in habits that you get from your training to that you transfer into everyday life and business and entrepreneurship, as it was called. It was a fascinating sort of topic, because I do think, especially any sports people that are listening, there's a lot of things to be said about people who are great at sports and people who also transfer the same skills into business.
Yeah, I think whenever you break it down, you really look at the bare bones of it. It's mainly because I think, for example, like I can relate it to me, but I think it's a case of you usually get the place a lot of people get their first win in life is usually getting like losing a bit of weight or getting in shape. And then that's why I actually think a lot of people think fitness is their passion. And one of the reasons why there's so many coaches now is because it's the first place a lot of people have had any success in any area of their life. Yeah. And then they think this is what I was made to do. Whereas you only really, I believe passion's a bit of a myth. You only want to do something you're good at. Like, for example, nobody starts the guitar and instantly goes, I love this. This is for me. This is everything. Very rarely. It's usually once you're really good at it, people know you're good. It builds your ego. It builds your confidence. You enjoy doing it and you get paid well for it then as a response. Yeah. So I think then you get that win and then you transfer it over to other areas in your life. And then that's whenever I would say it starts to have that bit of a difference then, Joe, because you know yourself, like you'd know this, you're dating. And you're putting in all the work, all the fitness work, or even in the GA, you're putting in all the work and you're not seeing anything. You're not seeing any sign of progress. You're not seeing any sign that you're going to get the result. And you continue doing the work regardless. You even go deeper and then you get that reward. And I feel like business is very like that. Like I saw not, like people don't realize, like, I think you're going to be able to give your tail on this with the DJ, but like, I coached for 6 months for free. The second 6 months, I charged £8 a week. Then a tenner a week for 6 months. Then 20 quid a week for 6 months or for a week. So I was only earning 20 quid a week online coaching after 120, 30 weeks of coaching. So like, there was no sign that it was going to pick up for me. Like obviously I was getting results and getting acquired, but the same with you and DJ, and like you hit a certain level and then you're like, fuck, is this it? Is this really worth it? And then you stick with it. And the thing is, as long as you stick with it for long enough and you actually keep refining it, not just working, beating your head off the counter, you get that win. And then I think that transfers into business, that transfers into everything.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's probably, what is it? The effort reward sort of parallel. As you said, like I was actually just listening to a podcast earlier. What do you call him? Tommy Mallet. Mallet Shoes. He's off Towie. He pretty much went is the Mallet Shoes, what they are at the minute, they're the biggest shoe company in Britain. He failed twice in 2 years and then done the same thing again and this the same time it worked. Didn't change anything, just kept believing.
It's very interesting.
And the way he talked about it was like, you know, he fought the first time he got it, so he failed and he was like, right. But that shouldn't have failed, and he still believed in the thing. So he did the exact same thing again, and that failed again. And everything in his head was telling him not to do it again. So he said, fuck it, no, I'm doing it again, and did it again. And then within 3 months, he had sold 600,000 units.
That's very interesting. I wonder, was there a difference, even though he didn't cop it? Like,
well, he says there's a difference in him as a person, and he also what he called visualize. He started visualizing and thinking about it and thinking to himself, this is a good idea, and I'm definitely on the right track. I just need to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep believing myself, keep believing myself, keep going, keep going, keep going. And then
that's
people,
so difficult,
people
though.
Are telling him, like, you need to go into like t-shirts, you need to go into clothes. And he's like, I don't fucking like t-shirts and clothes. I love shoes. Shoes has always been my thing. It's always been shoes. It's what I want to do. And he says, continued to keep sketching shoes. Like, he can't read or write. He's real bad dyslexic. Can't do sums, and he can't really draw, but he can scroll like shoes, like scribble down shoes. And yeah, it was a fascinating podcast. If anybody listened to it, he was on with James Smith, but he's been on a few different podcasts. But the James Smith one was good because James Smith asked questions sort of kind of like the way we do. Not James Smith, James English. He doesn't ask them from a loaded point of view. He asks them from a normal person. But it was very interesting. But the same thing as you said about your passion, people are only passionate about things they're good at, which is really true. There's a rare case where someone's really passionate about, say, like playing football, but they're really bad at it. Normally, you're only really passionate at something you're good at because that gives you validation. Same as business. It's hard to stick with a business that's not doing well. Like, it's really hard. It's so tough. And even if you believe in it, everything in your fucking head. And the reason you're probably good at business, even though the business is failing, is because you can read those signs. And if the signs are telling you this business is failing, but you really believe in it deep down, the business head in you is telling you get the fuck out before you lose too much. But the fighter in you, or the person who believes, the believer or the dreamer even, he's telling you to hang on because it all's going to be good, which is a predicament that a lot of people probably find themselves in, especially with the hospitality industry. DJ's not as much because your overheads as a DJ aren't high, really and truthfully. Like, you're a sole trader. But yeah, like, as DJ, and same as yourself, when you start out, like, you could probably gig for free for a year, maybe gig for £100 for another 2 years, gig for £150 for another 2 years after that. There's certain DJs will never get past £200, which, sure, in hindsight, like, for 4 hours work, it's very good. Like, it's probably better than most normal day jobs. For 4 hours, if you get £200, get that a couple of times a week, it's very good. But the aspirations they would have, like, you know what I mean?
There's a Naval Ravikant. He's like one of my favorite people. And if anybody's ever heard this, it'll relate to Alex Ramosi. I'll talk about it now, but he pretty much highlights that, like, throughout life, you will be climbing a mountain in different areas of your life, relationship, financially, career, business, and this relates to everything. So if you're not running a business, don't worry, this will still really relate to you. But he says throughout life, say in your relationship, your career, whatever it is, you're climbing a mountain. What happens is you follow this path and you get about 3/4 of the way up you want, maybe even two-thirds, 3/4. And what happens is the path ends. And the most difficult thing is you could be on that path for a year, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Now you have to make the decision. Do you go the whole way down to the bottom of the mountain again and pick a different path?
Yeah.
Or are you happy with 3/4? And the problem is you'll never really be fully satisfied with 3/4 because you want the top of the mountain. Everybody does. But the problem is most people usually at that stage in life have that dilemma of, I put 8 years in this relationship, I put 7 years in this business, do I start again? And if so, do I take a safer route? Do I take a different job? And that's actually a very interesting route, because Alex Ramosi says this, and he goes, sometimes it's not about how hard you row, sometimes it actually is about what boat you're in.
Yeah.
Because if you ever look at the people, like, he uses Warren Buffett as a really good example in this. He says that Warren Buffett was in a class, and he openly admits that there was somebody else way more smart, way more hard worker than him. And he chose to go into steel. And at the time, steel was the main thing, but Warren picked stocks. And the funniest thing is Warren is one of the richest men in history ever. And the other fella, don't get me wrong, done well, but nowhere in the same realm. And the fact of the matter is, Warren says if he had picked Warren's realm of stocks, he would have went further. But the thing is, he didn't pick up wrong boat, he just picked a slower boat. So the thing is, no matter how hard he paddled, he's never going to get him there. And it's the same with me. I've done this with coaching. It's one of the reasons I started property, because it's such a good vehicle for passive income over the long run. Whereas with fitness, like if I disappear from my fitness game, it's not really a business, it's more self-employed. Whereas I can disappear from property and it still runs. It's a better vehicle long term. So you have to weigh that up. But I think it's a very interesting one for relationships as well, because that does happen. Like when you're 29, like the way my relationship broke down, like at 27, 28, people go, well, I'm in this long, Joe. How many of our people are single now? Like, I've noticed now more than ever, especially around the age I am, like just coming up to the 29th, everybody I knew is either having kids, proposing. There's a lot of people getting more and more tied down. So if you were even considering, now you see signs like that, you don't realize it, but your mind will sway you to the decision with less pain in the short term, even if it's not what you really deep down want. And I think that thought process you said there as well with a DJ, it's that case of like, you get so far and you're like, I'm content, but you're not even content. You're just a little bit below it. You're like, you're almost there, but you're like, oh, it's like enough to choke you. It's like when you go into uni and you get that 30 grand a year job, it's good money.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's no real ascension. So it's good for a while, but then you get a direct debit for a house, you get a mortgage, and you start to get these chains on yourself, and then you can't move from there. It gives you real restriction. Because I got asked that at Caroline's course the other week, the County Down Under, when I gave a talk on financial freedom. And one of the people said, look, that's well and good because you make that much. But I was like, I probably spent, if I live in Northern Ireland, I was like, I guarantee I spend less than you in a month. And I was like, I have no direct debit support from my mum's car. Not one. Like, apart from Spotify, I was like, and a phone bill. I was like, that's it. There's not like nothing that's not business related. I don't think when you break it down, I'm not saying don't buy your coffee, cost all that, but when you have very low expenses, you give yourself freedom. And for me, that is real truth. That's all that really matters with money whenever you break it down in that sense. If you are chasing money, it's like, it gives you freedom. That's really the aim of the game. The aim of the game is not to keep playing the game. The aim of the game is to complete the game. So you have to stop playing. So that's either, if you always make more money than you spend, you'll never need more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true, actually.
The
other thing is, like, and this kind of goes back to the kind of athlete and the entrepreneurship, it's ambition. Sometimes certain people are happy with, say, their 30 grand job, or they're happy with their,
Do you think that's an insecurity? I don't mean to interrupt you. Do you think that's a common driver between, I'm going to probe you, do you think that's a common driver between athletes and business people, like, and the way they interlink, or that ambition?
Yeah, I think it's a somewhat insecurity, and it's a somewhat
personality trait or something. Like,
personality trait, that they think that they're at their ceiling and this is the best they can do, or this is where they deserve to be in their head, because they could be like they could maybe have an internal, you know, negative effect on themselves, an internal negative dialogue. But I think that is okay if that's who you are and that's what you are. You know, there was a thing, I don't know if it's a good quote or a bad quote, but it was a quote anyway, about not everybody can be the genius. Not everybody can be like the leader and the inventor. Some people do need to be the workers. And if everybody was the geniuses and the inventors and the chancers, everything would probably go to shit, because there's no one to actually steady the boat. There would just be a lot of people dreaming far too big, making loads of mistakes, crashing and burning and going again and going again and going again. So you in life, you do need them steady, you know, the steady ship. It's like everybody, Tony will probably know this, is probably Tony's mum. For all Tony's mad ideas, he'll have someone that'll bring him back to center. You know, everybody needs them people. So there's a lot of things in life, you know, like Hormozy, like I love Hormozy, but
different personality.
He's a different personality, and he would make, if you're happy with your job and happy where you are in life, there's no reason to feel bad when, you know, someone like that saying like, oh, you need to do more, 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 because it takes every single different type of person to make different ideas work.
I think you're better with the way you're saying it, because, like, yeah, for example, me and my sister had this conversation before on, Like, I remember talking to her and was like, Joe, would you ever consider starting your own business? And she goes, no. She was like, never. She was like, I've seen what it does to you. And I was like, very interesting. She was like, you worked nonstop. She was like, there's more stress. There is more reward. But she was like, for me, it's not worth it. And I was like, do you know what? Actually, not that I wish, but I really respect that.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like, and I think whenever you admire both sides, she's like, look, I really admire your hard work. I really admire the push, the drive, the ambition to want more. And it's not just a male thing. It's just person dependent. Like, there's nothing wrong with either side of the coin. It's just an interesting dynamic. And if anything, I think both sides envy the other slightly. And that's the funniest thing, because both one side will be like, oh, I wish I had more money and more freedom. But then they don't realize that working person's actually chained to their laptop, or the person that's working so many hours wishes that at 5 o'clock they could shut off. Same with like being somebody who's like, I really admire that county footballer, but at the same time, do you really want to do the Monday, Wednesday, Friday night every single week for the rest of your life, fucking train whenever you could be relaxed? So both sides envy. And I think it's very, very interesting when it's like that, because you don't realize it. I do think that's an interesting dynamic, because it shows no matter what side you're on, you just have to be content with and thrive with.
It's like the better you are at something, the more people expect you. So
There, it's like type A traits, isn't it? Like, it's type A traits are impatient. You're competitive, you're achievement oriented, you're slightly aggressive, you're a little bit more work obsessed. And then I think there's definitely type B as well. Type B is easygoing, more relaxed, a bit more flexible, more of a better work-life balance. And it says that society is made, like, it says that society is very like split between that. And there's even Joe type C being accurate, rational, plan, logic. There's like all these mixtures, but I think it's one of the things when you break it down.
Well, type C's your accountant that tells you to fucking rein it in when you're going too far down one direction. But there's also, that's the thing with experience and success comes pressure. And that is something that, the better you are, something the more pressure will be put on you to continue to be better. I sometimes like I would wouldn't realize the pressure I'd be on with DJing a lot of the time because you get used to it. But there was a gig I was doing a couple of weeks ago and it was free entry. I hadn't done a free entry gig in I don't know how long. So it was the first time in a long time where I didn't have to like tell people to buy tickets and hopefully people bought tickets. Where it was just free entry. And it felt like a complete weight was lifted off my shoulders for the first time in a long time. The run up to a gig, I really enjoyed it. Like I really enjoyed the run up because it wasn't like I don't like the salesy stuff. So it wasn't like going click a link and click a link here, buy your tickets, get your tickets now, tickets near sold out, get your early bird tickets, launching, buy tickets, get tickets, buy tickets. And I know that's part of the industry I've chosen and I'm in a very blessed place that I'm actually doing ticket gigs. But there was something real nice about that free entry gig. And it was very hard to explain and I never really thought about it until when I was advertising the gig, I was like, fuck, there's no tickets for this gig. It's free entry. And I was like, Jesus, that's cool. Like it was like a big weight lifted off your shoulders because they do expect you to fill venues and they do expect you to attract a crowd and then in turn the business, the bars and the clubs make money. And they need you to do that job because if you don't do it, then the chances are you won't be booked. The chances are you mightn't get paid as much as you want to get paid, down the line when you renegotiate. So you have a lot of pressures coming on and pressures continuing to build and evolve, especially now coming into like these kind of mini recessions that they said could be coming up.
Do you know what I find very beneficial for that? And I got it off somebody, I forget where. It's not even where. I always reframed it. I got it from Dave Martini years ago, and he always just says, anytime you're stressed about anything in any regard, with work, with relationship, whatever it is, just write out the absolute worst case scenario. Break it down in your head. Look, the worst of the worst. And for me, with business, whenever something goes wrong, say I have a client that complete or something that kicks up and it fries my head, I just write it right. If my business crumbled, right, the worst case scenario from this, that's never gonna happen. But if my business crumbled and I went broke and I couldn't afford my mortgage and I couldn't get a job, I'd probably end up in my mom and dad's house. And where am I right now anyway? And it's like, Joe, your worst case scenario isn't actually that. My life would actually, if anything, I remember writing it out really recently because I had a bit of an issue and I was like, fuck, write this out. And my worst case scenario, I was actually like, I would love that, because I was like, I wouldn't be working as much. I wouldn't be stressed as much. I could still train because I could afford my gym membership, and I could probably just live at home and just not travel as much. And I was like, I would love a year of just doing that. And all of a sudden it takes the pressure and it eases you. And then I was laughing as I was writing it. And I was like, all the pressure completely off me, because you just put this external thing. The only real thing whenever you dial down is usually it's the fact of you don't want other people to see you as that failure. And that's why I consciously, for example, there, whenever I came home, that entire time period, I made sure not to drive my Audi. I drove my mom or my auntie's car, mainly my auntie's, which is like a blue Panda. And then, you know, obviously my mom's as well. Because people, I don't care what people think, but it's one of the things, if that slips in, I think, fuck, I'm a wee bit nervous getting into this. What do people think? And then you must do it. You must stretch that fabric. You must challenge yourself, because if your self-worth is underpinned on your success, your value, your money, your status, your following, your car, then you're asking for it to get sideswiped from you, because if you put all your emphasis on them material possessions, it shows what you're really made of. And it's the character. Like, I don't love people because of what they have. I love people because of how they act or the way they go or their personalities. It's them moments. Whenever I need people or people need me, they don't remember what car you were in, but they remember how you made them feel or how you act or your morals or character. And that's built through the reps you don't even realize you're doing with stuff like that, because if you underpin all that on that. But as you said there, sorry, without deep dive, and Jesus, I'm already said, I think that's interesting, that idea with the athletes and the idea of the personality types. And then actually just right now, whenever you're saying about the stress and doing something for free almost brings you joy.
Yeah.
And it takes the pressure off it. It gives you like free realm. You'll actually be more creative. But I think that if I'm ever stressed, if somebody's ever worried about a relationship like or anything, like right now, the worst case scenario, usually it's really hard to actually imagine that happening. And on top of that, I always say, how could this be worse as well? So like, it could be worse because I could have no family. I could have nobody to go back to. I remember, as I said, the first day I got my Raptor, I had a wheelie bin. The first thing I said was, thank fuck that wasn't a kid. And like, Joe, I wasn't worried about the Raptor. All of a sudden, all I was worried about was like, thank fuck. Like, imagine I had it. It changes your perception, because that's all you have control of. Like, and I think that change in perception for you there probably helped you in a sense, just definitely enjoy that.
Definitely. It was it was one of those ones where you have the blinkers on and you're just going through the phases of going from event to event, to ticket, the seals. And then you're perform. This was the first time in a long time that there was no tickets to sell. There was no sales updates. There was no fucking, okay, the sales have slowed. What do we have to do? What can we do? Drew an email, drop to us. It was one of them sort of ones where you're like, fuck. You know, if people turn up, they turn up. There's no way of gauging. And it's like, what's the worst can happen? Going to have a shit gig. Guess what? We all have fucking shit gigs. The biggest bands, the biggest DJs in the world have shit gigs from time to time. Now, shit is a very floating scale. My shit and fucking Tiesto's shit's probably very different, figuratively, not the actual physical shit. But if the worst can happen, it's going to be a bad night. And you know what? You're due one. You know, you're due one to humble yourself the odd time. And it's nice to get a wee bit of a fucking humbling, because, you know, if people keep telling you you're the man, sometimes you start fucking believing it. Then when you get a wee humbling, you're like, geez, I have a bit of work to do yet. And that there brings you back down to earth. And that there can be a real good thing. But at the end of the day, if there's 10 people, 20 people, 10,000, 2,000, you'll put on the same show to them. Like they mean the world to you all the time. I was listening to Rogan a couple of weeks ago when he was saying that Dana White's 40th birthday party, or Dana White's birthday, he booked this major, major rock band. And they came in this function room in a hotel and put on this big, mad show. And Rogan was blown away, because he goes, like, he'd seen them in a stadium of 20,000 people. And he goes, they put on the exact same show. And he goes, in their head, like, I'm getting paid for this regardless. These people don't mean less than these other people. We're putting on a fucking show. When I get on the stage, it's go time. And I started thinking to myself, do I, when there's less people, do less? Which the answer was no, because I always do just do what I do. But it's kind of, you know, it's a kind of good mindset to get into, that, you know, as big as, you know, as me going up a mountain in Oma any different than going up a mountain somewhere else. It's a wee bit different height. You know, it's, you're still doing the same fucking thing. You know, you're still doing the same challenges. You're still doing the same thing. It's like when you go into the gym and the big guy's lifting more weights than you. Does it mean that when you're lifting your max means fucking less? Probably not really, because that's all you can do. You know, if you work to your maximum potential, you know, my potential, Tony's potential is very different. My potential and the person down the street's very different. But does that mean that your potential is worth less?
And in different realms.
With different realms. It's like, you know, it's like what's the word about when you compare yourself? There's a saying about comparing yourself like the other people online. It's like young footballers comparing themselves to Messi and fucking Ronaldo. No, they're generational talent. You know, just
yes.
If you be the best you can be.
Well, I think it's one of the things where, like, you take it into generics. The problem is people are comparing themselves to outliers, as you just highlighted. So really good example is, like, you think automatically, like, people think a six-pack is now normal because the amount of people walking around. But see, if you have a six-pack, you're probably in the top 1% of people in shape in the world. Like,
oh, easy.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, if you, I think Chris Williams put it up, like, if you gym 3 to 5 times a week, like, you are more than likely in the top 5% of people in shape. The problem is your view of what is just so distorted, because everybody's putting up these pictures where they look good, and you don't. Whenever you say somebody in shape, you don't even think of, like, somebody your age. You think of, for example, people writing to me going, how long have you been training? How long does it take to get results? I'm like, yeah, I'm training 12 years with no sessions missed. Like, and the thing is, the funniest thing is, when I was 16, I was comparing myself to these 30-year-old Steve Cooks that were on bodybuilding.com being like, I want that shape. Motherfucker was 28. Like, he's 10 years in you. Like, he's going to be in better shape. And the problem is,
Steve Cook, good man. Shout out to Steve. What a man.
I know, but it's very, very interesting, because, like, we have this real prominence with world as, like I'll be talking to coaches and they'll be comparing themselves to my business. And I'm like, bro, I'm coaching 8 years. I'm like, fucking hell. I'm not saying don't inspire, don't ask me quick. But, like, remember, like, compare your year one with my year one. You're actually probably doing better. Like, I remember I had a coach there who joined the mentorship, and they went 0 to 2K in the first month, right? So £2,000 first month. And he was like, bro, like, I'm not sure if this is right for me. And I was like, what? I was like, mate, I didn't even earn, like, I remember a voice note. I was like stuttering, because I was like, mate, I don't even think I earned probably £2,000 total in the first 18 months. And I was like, no, fair enough, it's different money and inflational. But I was like, Your sense of reality is completely distorted, because you're seeing people in the group posting they're making 30, 40 grand a month. But I was like, everybody's got a different trajectory. People are coaching different time spans. But on top of it, you're comparing yourself to outliers. Like, you're thinking 2 grand in a month isn't enough because somebody posting making 30K this month. But they're 35 and coaching 5-6 years. So as you said there, it's like you comparing yourself to David Guetta or fucking Carl Cox, people that were DJing whenever you were in your fucking cacks. Yeah. And do you know what I mean? It's like, it's good if you're using the right fuel and you're learning, you're moving forward. But whenever you actually think about the reps, and I think that is the most important thing with getting good at anything, as we've highlighted there, it is just a game of reps with everything. Like, and it's just where you put your reps. The problem is, as you said, talent does come into it, potential comes in it, because 1,000 hours of DJ work for me, you could maybe get that done in 500. But the problem is then, I just need to outwork you if I want that. So for every 500 you put in, I put in 1,000. I put in 1,200. The difference is, as you put in the more reps, you become more efficient, as you know yourself. So every rep is worth more. And that's what people don't realize, because me putting in 1 hour business work is worth 4 of last year or 10 the year before, because I know what's going to move the needle now. Like, me searching up properties, fuck, it takes me 15 minutes to figure out where everything is. If I'm going to buy here, if I'm going to buy, like, I just know where. It would have took me weeks to figure out the right buy, all that. So it's a very interesting thing, but I think it's the reps, but it's the skill acquisition that comes with it. And that's in everything. I think that comes with something that I've noticed as well, is as I haven't started, like, fully dating yet, but, like, it's something me and Emmett were talking about over, like, in, Emmett. We were talking about it. Where, yeah, we were talking about this, because obviously, like, Emmett's a lot more confident than me. So, like, I was saying about, like, and we were just chatting through it, and it is just repetition, though, as well. Because I was highlighting them. Like, I was highlighting, for example, like, there's definitely a market for, like, not a dating coach, but I was like, there's definitely a market for like education on actual like how not to pull, but how to date. Whereas you're moving through age groups, because don't get me wrong, there's dating coaches for females. I'm not saying I want to fucking date, but I was like, that's probably a niche. And I was like, oh, Joe. And we were just talking back and forth, but like a really good conversation. And we were just talking about like, it is reps though. Like the best people at dating are probably the people who've been on the most. And it's not to say he is or I am, but it's just a case of, it's quite interesting because like, you don't think about it like that. But I noticed that whenever I was doing the reps of asking people out of, as of late, just put the reps in. It's so simple now because you're doing the reps. It's the same as like recipes. It's the same as cooking. It's the same as cleaning. It's the same as learning guitar. It's reps. Some people are naturally a little bit better at things, but the more you put in, the more you get, and then the each one's worth more. It's a very interesting thing because it's in every area of life, which is the most simple, simplistic thing. Because somebody goes to me, how do I win? And I'm like, you do more reps and you refine the quality of the reps over time in that area.
Yep.
And then you get more out of it.
Yeah. That's exactly, but that's the same as like everything. Like it's just bad, the thing, like a TikTok kind of take, like everything, like everybody wants stuff so quickly and they expect it so quickly. They expect overnight success is rarely overnight success because you don't see don't see the work in the background. You just think it's overnight because you've just noticed it. Like, I was chatting to a guy last night. He was talking about Kneecap, you know, the band. And he was like, fuck, they've blown up from nowhere. And I'm like, lad, they have been about as long as fucking, they have been about 10 years. Maybe not 10, maybe eight or 9 years. They've been there a long time. And the reason they probably didn't blow up before is because they're too controversial. And he's like, nah, man, I've only started hearing about them in the last year. And I'm like, it's because of the society likes the outliers now again. Before you couldn't have said anything that wasn't the status quo. But it's the same as like people want success right now. As you said, the wee guy made two grand this first month. That wasn't like, oh, fuck, I thought I was going to do this. I'm sure it's the same as with Sean Casey and his social circle. Boys want their 100K in a month. They want their 100K followers and they only get 10,000 followers or 4,000 or 2,000. And they're all like, oh, fuck, I don't know. This isn't for me. Everybody wants stuff right now because everything you get in your life is right now. Your fucking Uber, your Just Eat, everything's at your palm and you can get it right now. The days of going into a foreign country and say, going to a hotel and go, I'm starving, fuck, will we go for a walk for something to eat? Now you just lift up your phone and go, Uber Eats, bang, food straight to hotel. You know, everything in life now is made so easy that people think that success should be easy. Being good at stuff should be easy. Boys in the gym should be, you know, why am I not got a six pack? Like a guy in the gym I go to at the minute, now it's a functional gym. A guy, we were talking about Tony, actually. He didn't realize I knew Tony. And he was saying about Tony's size. And my trainer was kind of looking and waiting for him to say something bad. But he was doing the opposite. He was fucking fanboying, like, fuck. And he was like, they were saying that there was a guy. They were saying there was a guy at a CrossFit event. And he goes, and the boy goes, he's the fucking size of Tony McAlevey, for fuck's sake. And he was fucking doing muscle ups and all. And I kind of peeped up. And the guy goes, I'd fucking love to be that size. And they were talking anyway. And then fucking Darn then said, and I was chatting to him. And he's like, oh, fucking, he's some size. And I was like, aye, but are you willing to bulk for fucking 3 years? And
then pinball head, like shit.
And then cut and bulk. And then you always have, you know, I go, Tony's worked on that base that he has for so long. And the guy just looked at me and goes, I'll never do anything for 3 years.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But I think that's funny, though.
Funny because they were at some CrossFit event. There was some guy that was fucking killing it. He was like some Lithuanian boy or someone. And they were like, he's the fucking size of Tony McAlevey. He's
a bounced about. And actually mobile, which is more impressive.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, like I'm going back into like a bulk now. And it's one of the things where, see, for me, I've realized that, like, I love that Oliver Burke quote that I've picked up. And it's like, who's the happiest man, the man at the bottom of the ladder, the man at the top of the ladder, or the man climbing the ladder? And whenever you realize that you're actually happiest when you're climbing the ladder, is whenever you keep accomplishing goals and you realize that you don't get the same satisfaction of reaching the goal. And you have to come full circle. It's like when somebody says, oh, you know, money doesn't really matter, but you're fucking skint. money does remove pain. It does make life better, but it doesn't solve all your problems to every extent. But the thing is, it helps, and achieving goals does help. But what I enjoy is a goal that is like constantly there. So that's why this next series for me after the Iceman Challenge is more like fit to fat to fit. So I'm going to do like a long gaining phase now. I get really big again. I don't know how hard we're going to push, but I'm going to properly get big. The thing is, I'm 85 now starting, so I'm thinking the 100 kilos is back on the cards here. I'm thinking that I'm going to see how far out, and I'm just going to take it slow and steady. But the thing is, I want a goal that is going to take time. So I'm thinking that, then diet down for a shoot, or diet down then push back up to go further, because I don't want the goal to end until about 18 months. So for me, or at least a year or two, the longer you can make that and the more you enjoy it, then the more you're becoming process input bias. And I think then you just enjoy it more. Whereas whenever you're so outlined on reaching the finish line, you see it, you lose yourself in that process because you're desperate to get there. Whereas if you can enjoy every step of the journey, and as you said, celebrate the whole way along. I know you love that. For me, it's that that's so important, and that's where society gets lost now, because the whole entire point of the mean isn't, and I don't love this term, trust the process. I fucking think it's overused now to an extent, but the whole point of it is it's who you become in the journey, who you become. It's like the goal of a relationship is not to get married. The goal of a relationship is to grow as individuals together. Yeah. The problem is people start picking milestones, and then that's what life is pinned on, the holidays, the Instagram, the marriage, the engagement, the kids. The goal is to grow together, to live together, to be committed, work for the good and the bad, and grow as two individuals to be better. And that brings you fulfillment because you love each other. Whereas it's like getting lost in translation. That's the same with the physique. The body is not actually what it's about. It's about the fact that the body represents the discipline, the commitment, the hard work, who you are as an individual. The same with your business. Your business is only successful through the traits. And that's why ambition and all these traits is like an a status thing. It's like the following on Instagram, people be like, oh, it's, you know, women chase that or this or that. The reason people chase that is because of what it stands for. Now, don't get me wrong, you get a viral video, you blow up, but majority of people who build their following, it usually takes a large amount of work. It's the same with building their body. It's the same with building their business, building their wealth. Yes, some people get a lucky break. The large majority, as you said, are not overnight successes, and that's why they're actually attractive traits. It's the same as like a woman in shape. It's like, it's attractive because to get that and to keep it requires discipline, hard work. These are all things that are going to be needed in a relationship. They're going to be needed at that time period. Like one of the main things I struggled with last time with Jeremy was the fact that I don't quit, which, don't get me wrong, maybe to anybody else will seem like it. To me, that's my biggest benefit, because I won't give up on anything. I will chew the leg of anything to make sure it works. Now, people counteract that and that, but I'd rather have that trait than the opposite. And it's one of the things of that stands in everything in all areas of your life. And for me, that is really, really vital, because if you think about it, your reflection, where you are right now, everything you're doing, your habits, your routines, your rituals, your status, your wealth, your money, your physique, as you know yourself, your career prospect, that is all just from your values, from your actual work ethic in each individual area. What you have is a clear representation of the individual you are. That's why when people go, I just feel more potential, but I can't get it, I'm like, it's because your values, your habits, your routines, they don't align with that. If they did, you would have it. It's like people go, like, I'm just not in shape. I'm like, yeah, but I know you're probably not weighing your food. You're not training hard enough. You're not the habits, the routines, the rituals aren't built. And that's why, as we said at the very start, when you get that first win, you realize that it's actually just the reps and the refinement over time. It's a very hitting home podcast for me. I love that, because it really shows that anything's on the cards for anyone if they put their head down. And that's actually a very frustrating thing to hear. But when you take ownership for your responsibility, it puts you in that place where you now have a massive power shift in your mind, where you can now go, fuck, all this is on me. No matter what you say, it's like when people go, oh, but my dad's an alcoholic, so like I struggle with this, or I struggle with that, or I never had the support of this. You're now self-aware, so everything you do from that moment on is completely on you. There's somebody else in a worse position that's moved forward in every area. So it's a very interesting one.
Yeah, definitely. I would say, if anybody, after you listen to this one, of course, and rate, review, and do all that stuff, you should listen to the Tommy one on James English, because he touches on a lot of things. And actually, one of the things he said was, like, everything he used to do was for like inanimate objects. Like, so he worked hard because he wanted the fucking Guccis or the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis. Then he realized all that shit didn't mean nothing. Like, it meant nothing in the long run. He wanted the AP, wanted the Rolex, and he's like, it fucking doesn't mean nothing. And then as soon as he realized that, he realized that he had to do things for the right things, for his girlfriend, for his family, for his dad, to get his dad, like, so his dad didn't have to work as hard. He doesn't even wear a watch now, but he said something that was really, like, he said the moment that really, like, hit home for him was he got into Selfridges for his shoes. Like, anybody knows Mallet shoes, they're class shoes, like, got into Selfridges, and he was fucking, yeah. And he was like, fuck, you know what? Now I want into Harrods. So then they contacted Harrods, and they got in. And then he went home to his girlfriend. He was like, fuck, let's go out to the West End. Let's go for a good meal. And she was like, nah. And he was like, do you want to just go to McDonald's? And she was like, yeah. And he goes, we just sat in my car now at McDonald's. And he goes, but the old me would have been fucking like, yachts and fucking, let's look for a jet, let's do something, because you know that's what he thought he had to do. And he's just like, you know what, fuck all this. He goes, if you look at, and he said something real funny, he goes, if you look at the most successful people in the world, he goes, they're not running about with Gucci belts and Gucci trainers and Rolexes on. He goes, they're normally wearing the same clothes with a fucking Apple Watch.
He goes, because me, the man who always wears black with an Apple Watch, for fuck's sake.
And he said that, I was like, and I started thinking of people, and I was like, that's actually true, like, that they're like people take the piss, or like the way like fucking certain like billionaires and millionaires are dressed, and especially them crypto millionaire guys. It's because like they realize that, you know, all the money in the world can buy you whatever you want, but like the things aren't going to make you any happier. And I was probably guilty of that myself. Like I like nice trainers and I do like fancy trainers, but
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No, and they're nice and they're comfortable. Like, but there is certain ones that are fucking definitely not comfortable. I had to really have a good chat to myself, and I was like, am I buying them because of the brand or because I love the style of them? And thankfully, I think I'm not lying to myself when I say I do actually like the style of them, because my favorite trainer in the world is an Air Force One, a triple white Air Force One is my favorite trainer in the world. But and they're not probably the best looking to most people, but I just love them. But
see, I think you have to remove it to see, is it that case? Because
yeah.
I couldn't figure that out with the ego of my truck. I got it because it was my dream car, but then I always wondered, was it my dream car truck because what it signified to me or what it signified to other people? So I couldn't work that out. So I sold it and then realized that it actually wasn't. It didn't really matter. So I could have fucking just kept the fucker. But to figure that out, I had to sell it. I had to remove it to show that it wasn't what I didn't need it.
Yeah.
It's like, do you need a really nice Rolex to go on a night out? Are you still the same man wearing it? Like, the same man can pull up in a Ferrari or a Fiat Panda and still leave an impression. Because it's about who you are as an individual, not what you have, as you said there. And I think drawing the line, it's like Marcus Aurelius says, like him back in Roman times, they used to sometimes for a month remove their horse so that they had to walk everywhere, or remove their shoes so they had to walk. Like, imagine how grateful you'd be for a pair of shoes if you walked a month barefoot everywhere. So for me, it's that case of go without, and then you'll always be one more grateful with. And you'll also know, were you doing it for you, or were you doing it for that perception of others? And I think that is I think a lot of things we do in society is for that without realizing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we don't want to admit, it is. It's signaling. It's like secret signaling. Like, even when people get Lamborghinis, yes, it's for me, but are you secretly signaling that you're trying to be like more financial to attract the right female, or signaling over meals that you're bad? Joe, all these insecure. It's very. You have to really deep dive in your own subconscious, because only you will know.
It's like a flex without you even knowing it's a flex. You're like, I want people to know I'm doing good. But even though you mightn't think that, but you're like, you're buying something that's, you know, showing that out. But it's true. It's one of those things where there's a lot of internal chat has to go on about it. But
you can tell whenever somebody meets, if somebody's single and they meet a female, I've seen this recently, and the first thing they do is they feel like they have to somehow like prove, or like, it's like if I brought up money, following, anything like that around a female within like 5 minutes, it shows a lack of insecurity that you're built off that you have no confidence. They're all things that can be, that aren't who you are. They're all add-ons. They're all things you can talk about down the line, or they can get brought up. But if you have to bring your, like, your, what you think is your main selling points to the forefront, that shows that it's not what you are. And For me, that's like you have to wear a Rolex to walk up to a girl. Or you have to be clean. Like all these things are, you have to be in your Lamborghini. Or you have to be in your nice car. You can't stop. Like I remember stopping and asking somebody out the other week whenever I was in Crocs and a vest, like just for a rep. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. I was like, fuck it.
What type of Crocs?
Oh, they're the ones that say the Wolfla. Hilarious, man. Fuck me.
They want the what?
They want my Crocs. They say Eco. Yeah, they say the Wolf on them. They're on my rails, mate. They
Echo clogs.
Yeah, yeah, they're Echo clogs. They're fresh.
I have a few pair of the Echo clogs.
Yeah, so they said the Wolf and there's wee emoji, and I was actually standing there like, what the fuck? Socks, shorts, tank top, hot, it freezing.
Where was this?
And only down the road. I don't know about, fuck, it must be about 6 weeks ago now. I just stopped, I just pulled in.
What was the answer?
What, fuck, well, actually, I'm not going to tell you, right? So, this is straightforward. So, me and Joseph were driving back from the gym. I thought I said this. Driving back from the gym the other week, we drove by somebody, and I was like, oh, fuck, that's a good-looking woman. And I was like, oh, well, if she was single, I'd ask her out. And he goes, mate, what's her name? So, looked her up, and he was like, I goes, no, definitely a relationship. He goes, I don't see any pictures of anyone. He goes, you don't have the balls. And I goes, next time I see her, I'll ask her out then. So, we drove back about 3 weeks later. We were driving the same road, exact same time, just after filming. And he was like, what are you doing? I was like, pulling the car. And he goes, why? And I goes, 2 seconds. I just bounced out of the car and ran over. And I got a small bit of conversation. And I, not joking, like, the relationship's like 5 years. Like, it's 5 years long. And like, so like, I was asking somebody that was like 5 years into a relationship, but it was still funny. It's hilarious. But a case of,
it is a rap. I didn't give a fuck.
I didn't give two fucks. And the funniest thing is, like, I was going to Poland like 2 weeks later, and then I'm planning on Texas. So like, without sounding like a wee prick, I was never going to go on, like, nothing was ever going to happen because I'm going to travel. Yeah. Like, I'm not planning on that. It was just the fact that, one, I said I would if she was single. I thought she was. He done it. And then I got back in the car, and he goes, no number. He just assumed I'd get it. He goes, no number. And I goes, pretty much fucking married, mate. And he was like, oh, right. He goes, my bad. And then we just drove up, and nothing happened. Did my confidence go negative? Me and him were laughing about it because I didn't even realize what clothes I was in. I just done it as a reflex. And the thing is, people are like, oh, who gives two fucks? Yeah.
But sometimes I would have thought like if you, I don't mind rejection, but it'd be more like if you ended up in a fucking group chat. No, people go, oh, this fucking, look at the, he thought he was going to try it on.
I wouldn't give two fucks.
I don't really care about that. But then in the back of my head, I was like, do I even fucking need the drama?
I don't even want to go down that. My thought process is, what do I want to do? What's going to serve me? What did I say to do? What's going to build me as an individual? I don't give a fuck about the repercussions. If somebody wants to put it in a group chat, but you're fucking, who gives a fuck? The first thing I'd think is, fair fucks that ballsy. If I ever see a man go over a woman on in the middle of daylight, random Tuesday, whatever, I'd be like, ballsy cunt. And the thing is, to become a more confident individual, to become more ballsy in that realm, you have to do the reps. And you're only going to get better by doing them. And that is simple as. And
I have a good one for you.
Go for it.
Right. I matched with an absolute 10 out of 10 on Tinder. A couple of weeks, phenomenal. Second message in, she goes,
no.
Which do you earn per year?
Oh, fuck.
And I said, I don't know whether. And then I says, well. And then she wrote, just may as well get her out of the way now, because she goes, I do very well for myself and I'm not into fucking losers. And I went, I don't know whether to applaud that or think it's appalling. And she was like, I'm just wasting my time, because she goes, too many people aren't driven enough, and by whatever she said, and I was just like, I don't even know what to make of this. I'm absolutely speechless. What do you make of that?
I don't think that's a good qualifying question, in my opinion.
It was within two or three back and forth. Like,
well, that means one of her highest values is how much money you earn to provide her life or keep up to status. She obviously doesn't want somebody milking over her, but for me, I'm totally for like getting a basis on that, right? And that is absolutely fine after a date or conversations had. I think as a second question, asking what you do and then making a light joke about like, oh, you still, like, for example, if I was flirting with a girl that was a DJ for Toxic, I think the better way, if you were like, if money really mattered that much, you could joke around it and be like, DJing, please tell me you're not doing it for 20 quid of things. What sort of venues do you do? And then you would know from the venues.
She already had been on my Instagram.
And then, yeah, for me, it's one of the things where she's probably just trying to suss out. But for me, I understand there's financial security and all because the ages. But at the same time, like, people are so much more than what they earn. Like, if somebody asked me that straight about, the first thing I would think is, I'm not being cheap. I would immediately turn around and go, fuck off.
I never continue speaking to her, but I thought my immediate thing was,
I would never say that to a female. That's how I know that wouldn't be right for me.
She's not my like a, like a burnt badly by someone. She's like a damaged good.
So, yeah, 100%.
So it's just like, I was like, I don't know whether to applaud you or think it's appalling what you just said. And she was just like, I don't know what the fuck she said. And I was just like, oh, geez, I'm still flabbergasted. But yeah,
she's, but if she didn't check her, for me, that's fine. See if you wrote that and then you said something about, and then she copped on and was like, oh, fuck, do you know what? Actually, was
She doubled down, and then it was a wee bit of back and forth for me going, fuck, I don't know what to make you. And then she was like,
send her bank statements to P45.
I was like, and then she goes, so when are we going to Ocean Beach? And I was just like,
see you later. Good luck. Best. Yeah. I'm out. I guess podcast now. we'll call it quits when we're ahead, love.
We'll do it. We'll try to get a date and one going. We'll try to find a date. And there bound to be some.
Me and Joseph were talking about. I know.
Dating coach.
We were dating coach. We good. We actually talked about me doing it on YouTube and walking around asking people out or taking people on dates. But obviously, it's very different to do that on a full videographer where he's like cinematic. It's not very. It'd be like fucking 50 first dates because that wouldn't be fucking thing. But for me, that also is, it's just one of the things where it'd be hilarious. Like, I would just.
You would do it away abroad, but.
It's because I wouldn't give a fuck. I know it sounds terrible, but like, I don't care if it goes well, if it goes bad, if it goes up or it goes down. Like, I just don't give.
But I think
it'd be beneficial for people to learn. Like, I would learn as a go-to because I'm going to be learning them reps again. So, like, obviously, like, you're going to say things that you probably shouldn't say. You're going to make hiccups. You're maybe not going to plan the date well. You know, and I think that's almost more interesting than anything else because there's not like that out there because people are afraid to be known as that.
But I think you would find that the females wouldn't take the risk of the chance.
100%.
I think it would work in.
America could work well. I think you could do the approach in the street and get it filmed with him sitting somewhere. I think actually coming on the date just wouldn't work because it wouldn't be natural at all.
No, people, but sure, everybody then will go, this is a fucking setup. Sure,
exactly. That's why we had that conversation, because the only reason we considered it was because I was like, that would give a lot of value to people. Like, a lot of young men that struggle with that, like, it would take, and that's where, like, dating coaching all comes in. But as we said, it's just reps, but we'll call it there, and we can dive into dating coach maybe next week, right? Make sure you, like, you rate the podcast, for fuck's sake. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe. And give us some topics, ping them in to the page.
Podcast is on Tony McAlevey's YouTube, by the way.
And yeah.
So just in case you're writing in the name of the thing, podcast, and it's not coming up.
Oh, yeah. I usually comment them all, Muscle and Hustle. And we are on Instagram as well. Mickey, you have the handle. It is just the Muscle and Hustle podcast.
Right.
Muscle and Hustle podcast. So, yeah, look us up on that and DM us your questions on there and we'll look after you. And rate, review, like, subscribe. You're the big fucking deadly danglers.
Good luck. See you next time.
That was good podcast, mate.
That was good, Craig. All right.